Richard Ginger is with me here in the studio. This is Monday Morning Magazine, First Monday Pat, subbing for Holly. And we have Heidi Gunling joining us on the line. And she is a board member at the Redwood Forest Foundation. Good morning, Heidi. Well, good morning, Richard. We'll get Heidi up here in a second.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Heidi.
Oh, good morning, Heidi. You just got potted up. Glad to have you join us here this morning.
Thanks for inviting me.
We've been friends for many years. You originally hail from Germany.
Actually, I originally hail from Los Angeles, but I did live in Germany for 30 years.
Oh, well, there we go. Uh-oh. I should have checked my bio. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, since I botched it so badly going in.
Sure. Well, I lived in Germany for 30 years where I went to film school and got involved in making films on development, and then later with the nascent Green Movement, was part of the anti-nuke movement, which really kicked off the Green Movement in Germany. I was involved in that and got more and more into environmental filmmaking and did a number of films in and on the German forests there, which are quite different from the forests here. They've been managed for hundreds of years, and the foresters are now coming around to the idea that we don't want monoculture Doug fir because it just kills any kind of biodiversity. And of course, during the wars, when people were heating with wood, they needed all the wood they could get. But the older forests have been planted very narrowly together, the trees, so that's why the Black Forest is called black, I think, because it's very dark in there. But now they're realizing that they've lost a great deal of the biodiversity, the birds, the trees that have berries, the trees that make good wood for furniture, for food for animals. They are beginning to replant them. And so coming out here to the West, it was I actually came to this area because I was really alarmed and concerned about the disappearing redwoods and the magnificent forests that once were here all up and down the coast, that there was so little left of them. So when I was last in Germany, it was about 20 years ago now, I was running an international environmental film festival and tried to focus as much as I could on these disappearing forests that we have here. And, of course, that was a time when Julia Butterfly was up in her tree Luna, and there was some world attention being focused on the cutting and the clear cutting that was going on here. So that's kind of what drew me to this area.
Oh, yeah. So you came when it was hot in the kitchen.
It was hot, yeah. It was very hot. So it was fascinating for me to see the grassroots resistance to really wiping out the rest of these fabulous forests. And so that's how I met my husband, who was involved in the Redwood Forest Foundation, which had just been founded in 1997. And Redwood Forest Foundation, I'm sure your listeners are somewhat familiar with it by now. Our goal is to buy depleted forest lands and restore them and try and get them back to a semblance of their once wonderful selves. Richard, of course, is also on the board, and he is in charge of restoration projects, and he's done a fabulous job there. So I'm sure you've heard about some of the things but we've sunk millions into restoring streams where we now have coho coming back, and just improving the waterways, and
And that's every creek between Indian at Piercy and Hollow Tree above Leggett on the west side of the Eel. Parts of Usaw Creek. But actually, what's interesting, Heidi, is I follow it all the way back to the timber wars of the mid-80s. And so the original Redwood Forest Foundation was, you know, GP liquidated. They were kind of going, we should organize. And then LP liquidated, and that eluded them, and that went to, you know, other owners. And, you know, we were talking earlier about politics and how if you stick with it, you can win. And, you know, if you don't quit, you can win. And Ruffy ultimately got a Bank of America loan for No, $65 million, something like
that. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's been the real deal in terms of, like, meeting the challenge of the mission and the ideal for the Redwood Forest Foundation and the price of wood and the condition of the land. So you guys have such a noble ideal to do community forestry in the mode that improves forest health, and that's what you've done. And we're seeing the results in the Redwood Forest Foundation tributaries, and they are a vital part of what's coming down the South Fork right now and keeping it alive and keeping steelhead alive up in those reaches. And each of those creeks is a refugia, and if you stuck your face in there with a mask and snorkel, you would see trout wall to wall. And if people want to go to the Eel River Recovery Project, I just did that, and both the BLM Wilderness Tracks and the Redwood Forest Foundation are absolutely the key to the South Fork. And so people know about Ruffy, I think, Heidi, but I'm much more excited than everybody else, and I'm trying to fix that. So why are you on the board, and why does it ring your bell? And then we'll open up the conversation to Richard, who is waiting very patiently here.
New vision, right, to instead of just protesting and getting kicked off land and arrested or whatever things they want to spray on us or whatever, instead of having these ongoing animosity, which is really divisive in communities, we had the vision to bring everyone together and try and work together with the government. And we were fortunate, as you mentioned, to get that loan from the Bank of America. What we're trying to do, and it's a long-term project, as you said, I mean, these trees don't grow as fast as humans grow, but trying to set this thing on the Usal Forest, which was very badly depleted, which was why the Hawthorne Timber Company was happy to sell it. We're trying to, and we are succeeding in gradually setting it back on track. And that means we have a conservation easement on it. It cannot be subdivided into little ranchettes, or it cannot be. We have our practice rules, our forest management plan does not allow for clear cutting. We have a moratorium on the use of any kind of chemical herbicides or pesticides. We are doing the very best we can to let this forest grow back. We are doing some management, which means we are doing pre-commercial thinning. We are doing fire breaks. We are trying to manage this forest as responsibly as we know now. I've learned in this process that we don't know everything, and that even CDF does not know everything. And there are government restrictions, for example, that when you take out a certain number of redwoods and Doug fir, you have to take out an equal number of, or a proportional number of hardwoods, which is for us a real problem. And we've seen the issues that MRC has had with their use of imazapyr and leaving standing dead trees. So there are a lot of challenges where there's no one clean solution to how do we deal with this, but we're learning as we go forward, and eventually this will be a wonderful forest that will continue to provide jobs to the surrounding community. It will have an environment that is good for wildlife, and our plan is that the profits eventually that will come off of a healthy, thriving forest will be put back into the community. It's not going out of the county. It's not going someplace else. This will provide a really wonderful, thriving eco-environmental economy for this entire area and for all the wildlife and the diversity of trees, which we are encouraging to come back. So
nobody else is, you know, they might take a breath, and
they're taking out maybe less trees or not clear cutting quite or whatever it is. But the long term goal is that this forest is here for the community, and this community will benefit in so many ways from that economic and non-economic benefits from this forest. So that's our vision, that's what we are on the slow track to, because.
No, but take a breath, because you've just made a sale. I think everybody out there listening is going, wow,
Yeah.
Redwood Forest Foundation does that.
That's what
so
we do. That,
just to coach you, because I used to be in the stereo business. When you when you make a sale, take a breath and let somebody buy. I believe that the future of the Redwood biome hangs in the balance, and Ruffy is the way. And that if we turn it into working forests with the goal of forest health and with the goal of recreational access and with the long-term goal of dedicating resources back to the community, we will be unique. And people can join this movement by donating to Ruffy at present. And talk about that. How can people get involved and make this happen, Heidi? I mean, it is happening, but... you know, the board has been in the saddle, a lot of them, from the inception. And you know, I think to have an organization that's healthy, you need to kind of recruit people and youth. It's also my conviction that the way out for supplementing the problems with the bank arrangement and meeting the mission and ideals of Ruffy, just get people to join. You know, there's such a resonance in these ideas. So how can people plug in?
Well, we have a website, which is www.rffi.org. And this year we hired actually a volunteer coordinator, Johanna Cummings. And we're really trying to get volunteers on board to help in ways that are satisfying to them and that help our organization move forward. And we can never have enough volunteers. It's an experience because you find out more about the forest, which is on our doorstep, and you can really support this vision and this mission. And the more people we get, the more people we get supporting us, the more not just financially. Financially is of course huge, and we're always in need of money because everything that we are now getting out of the forest actually goes to help pay down the bank loan. But people can also donate to the REFI itself, and that money supports our organization. But the money is the one thing, it's great, but the other thing is if people would like to get involved and know more about this, we have workshops, we have events that people are very welcome and invited to come to. They're all open to the public.
Well, and that's a perfect segue for Richard. We've got some events coming up, don't we, Richard?
We do. One thing I would like to emphasize, though, before we move on to some of the specific events, is the website itself. And on that website, you can find video footage that Heidi took of restoration in the Usal Redwood Forest, as well as other things. We've mentioned that, you know, this last January, Marco Stanley was able to get some really nice footage of a beautiful pair of coho salmon way up Anderson Creek, tributary of Indian Creek, almost to Usal.
That's so exciting, too. Wow.
And that is the Coho Refugia for Northwestern California. It spans from Sproul or Indian somewhere down in there up to Branscombe, and it includes all the Ruffy Creeks. So as they come back into their arc of recovery, and they are recovering, I think, faster than the forest land, they will actually be the places where coho will expand and the meta population will be sustained. So Ruffy has inordinate value both for water supply for the South Fork and for biodiversity, including our iconic coho species.
Yeah, Heidi mentioned it too. Like, it's a big deal getting a conservation easement to prevent development. And this is, you know, we have our work cut out for us dealing with impacts from people living on the land in our region. And what's nice about getting a conservation easement is that you can cut down the politics and the development issues and really focus in on what the forest and the resources can actually accomplish without having to have all contention about people actually trying to live on this land and with an infrastructure from the logging that Ruffy's got on it, too, that has issues that need to be dealt with. And it's a massive thing. And have cutting out the development issue part of it and being able to focus on the pure landscape and forests and the natural order is a really wonderful thing.
Well, you know,
I just think,
I
just think we should mention we have decommissioned miles and miles of roads that were former logging roads, but nobody's going to be living on those roads. They're impassable now. It's really helped restore huge swaths of land. We've put millions and millions of dollars in grant money that have been government grants and other grants that we've received with partners into restoring these creeks and restoring different areas. So it's a huge amount of really forest restoration that is not going to be clear-cut and moved in on by some subdividers. So that's really huge.
It is, and a specific example, too, in that footage that you've done of some of that restoration work, Heidi, is Stanley Creek. And to give people an idea of the scale, this is like about a 5,000-acre watershed, a planning watershed scale, which is what the scale usually you evaluate cumulative impacts at. But we're over $2 million into the grant money and the matching funds to just deal with a road system. So like $2 million per 5,000 acres, the magnitude of that is huge. And one of the things that Ruffy does in conjunction with this is to engage local nonprofits and businesses in this work. And
Pacific Watershed Associates helping you guys
very,
out.
Very key. And then Earwig, the Eel River Watershed Improvement Group, has been key. And then Trout Unlimited, partnerships with Fish and Game. And the CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE is now holding the conservation easement. And so it's a big partnership, and it's all new. And this is all new, a model that is going to be, if we can't make a good model happen in Use All Redwood Forest through the Ruffy ideals of community forestry, it's not going to happen anywhere.
Yeah, you got to flip that on its head, Richard. You got to sell, brother. I'm going to teach you to sell some. But, you know, people hate a problem, they love a solution, Richard. So if you're presenting a solution and people are you know, buy it, then it works better that way. But when I was a kid, there wasn't like chain link fences on forests, and the public went on and off of forest lands, and the forest lands had thriving animal populations, and the creeks were clean. And they whacked it here and there, mostly...
You're that old?
Well, you know, yeah, I was born in 1950, and, you know, so... and now cumulative effects from post-World War II are things we still live with, but really, in a way, the Ruffy ideal is to push things back towards this, to make sure that your timberlands aren't fragmented so that those large unbroken blocks can both be a home for the animals and also a source of clean water. And the arc of restoration, where it went from like stick a log in the creek to now where there's enough vision in the grant processes and government to do the roads on the hillsides, that is going to increase the flow in Stanley Creek. That is going to increase the base flow in a summer. It's going to prevent flood damage and filling, and it's been shown in Washington State and other places documented that road networks wash out in big floods. And if those road networks are decommissioned, that creek is going to get deeper, it's going to get colder, it's going to get cleaner in rainstorms instead of going the other way. And so Redwood Forest Foundation is really, it's doing it in that block. And it's made an important part of contribution of to the wilderness on the other side, the Sinke one, which is near and dear to Richard's heart. So, you know, Ruffy's just phenomenal. And you know, really, Heidi, I still think it's in the shade. You know, I'm still looking for its Andy Warhol time and its meteoric rise up and public approbation and participation.
Well, you know, I will mention we do log in this forest, and there are some tracts that we do log, and we do, besides the organizations that were mentioned before, we do work with local contractors. So we are also keeping that aspect of forestry going. It is a working forest, although we're trying to log as little as possible and as much as necessary to meet our costs. But you're right. I mean, the thing is that it's slow going. So people that live here will see a change in their lifetimes, and we're already seeing it ourselves. People from the outside, actually, we have people from the outside that are excited about this model. It's just that it's, you can't brag about it every day too loud, you know.
Well, there's a lot of realities. There's a lot of realities of dealing with the legacy issues and the pressures, the economic pressures all throughout. And so it's not all milk and honey. It's like a lot of really nitty-gritty stuff that needs to be dealt with. And
it's going to be milk and honey 30 to 40 years from now. That's the milk and honey. You've got to get there.
And milk and honey is going to be there for our great-grandchildren here. So one of the things, there's a couple of specific things that are going on. One that has gone on, a coho recovery plan for the South Fork Eel tributaries that Pat's mentioned in the Use All Redwood Forest. And we're right now engaged in implementing a coho recovery plan for Use All Creek watershed. And so this is with high-tech LIDAR photography where you can see all the different skid trails, all the different issues, all the different problems. Pacific Watershed Associates has gone in the Eel River tributaries and taken multiple photo records of all of the stream side, the stream itself, and upslope. And so we're going to be having a workshop on the 18th of August coming up. It's probably going to be in the Fort Bragg Grange at Inglenook. We're going to try and confirm that today. But I think the website's got a way for you to plug in, or you can find out how to do that. But we have about 30 people or so signed up now, and there's another 80 people would hope to show up also to actually go methodically through this information about recovery and to try and get a basis for a recovery plan for the whole Usaw Redwood Forest that is really comprehensive, that takes into the educational aspects, the recreational aspects, the scientific aspects, as well as the road issues, the in-stream issues, and trying to get input from a variety of perspectives and move ahead on that.
Yeah, Richard, you're an amazing engine on that. I thought we might fill the second half hour with that, but we're just kind of playing jazz here on KMUD. This is KMUD Monday Morning Magazine. My guest on the phone is Heidi Gunling, Redwood Forest Foundation. Of course, here in the studio is the inimitable Richard Ginger.
Please.
Well, no, it's just like Richard is our... Speaks for the forest on KMA. You can be self-effacing for a second. But Heidi, Henry, we went, this must be 10, 15 years ago, we went steelhead fishing, and Henry taught me how to fish for steelhead on the Navarro. And while the pools were fewer in number than, when Henry was younger, he still knew where every one of them was. And he walked this flatfish through so slow, I didn't believe he could actually catch fish like that. And he was like a magnet. But we walk through the Perry Gulch Forest to get to the river. And Henry, with partners, bought redwood. Can you tell us the story of Perry Gulch? And so this is like in the rearview mirror. If we would have been smart with redwood, we would be rich as Croesus. And instead, we're kind of scratching with the chickens. But Henry did pretty good on Perry Gulch, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He bought that ranch in 1968. It was over 1,000 acres with six or seven partners. And he really kind of was a nature boy and just loved being out in the wilds, and particularly loved fishing. And they bought this ranch that had been used basically for grazing sheep a lot. It had some wonderful redwoods on it, but it hadn't really been cultivated in that sense. And it's right along the Navarro River here in outside of Philo in Mendocino County. And over the years, his partners were like-minded. They wanted a place where they could basically relax and have a good weekend with their families or good vacations. They have planted over 500,000 redwood trees and other trees in that time. And this forest is now a gorgeous, beautiful forest that is thriving, and people just marvel at it when they go to see it. And they have coho in their streams, and they are, of course, not using any herbicides, pesticides, anything like that, but just trying to do the best forestry that they can. And every few years, they have a bountiful harvest. All the partners are very happy about that. They all get a dividend. And but basically, they are growing a huge amount of trees, redwood trees, that have made this a wonderful place for recreation and for wildlife.
And it has substantial revenue generation from the redwoods.
Absolutely.
And it's a machine that will go on forever. And,
right.
Climate change, the redwoods will grow more. And so,
and they have spotted owls. I've been out there and seen the wash on the tree stems and on the ground, and looked up, and there's a mother spotted owl with her fledge looking down at me. And just along a road, really, not being fed by biologists or attracted by biologists in any way. And so they have a lot of, it's just become this wonderful refuge for people and for wildlife.
And, you know, that's an interesting one because we have a guy, Jeff Hedin, in our wilderness movement in the EEL. And while we're very concerned about public lands and large wilderness tracts, he's very adamant that these postage stamps where people just really care and they manage it right can be, you know, the animals find them and they help biodiversity and they become like biodiversity reserves for genes so that if we expand forest health, then a radius around there because civilization becomes enlightened at some point, you still have the animals. You still have all this biodiversity. So that's very cool, Heidi, and that's kind of, on a mini scale, that's kind of where the Redwood Forest Foundation wants to go, but probably with a little more commercial productivity.
Absolutely. Well, Utah Forest is 50,000 acres, and it's got a lot of different types. It's got the watersheds, it's got the Eel River and the tributaries to that, and the Usal River and its tributaries. And it's got, you know, hilltops and drier areas and then the very wet lowland areas just down to the coast. So there's really a lot of a variety there. So it calls for a lot of different knowledge and different ways of treating different areas.
Heidi, do you have other business this morning? Want to hang on the phone with us after the bottom of the hour here? I got to give it back to the engineer for station ID. This is Pat Higgins from Monday Morning Magazine. I got Heidi Gunling as a very good guest on the line from the Redwood Forest Foundation Board. We got Richard Ginger here in the studio. We're going to take it back to this engineer, and then I'll continue with Monday Morning Magazine.
Thank you, Pat. And it is 8:30 here at the MUD. And 62 degrees, and since we didn't have the underwriting log, we don't have underwriters, so you're still on.
I could make them up.
Okay.
No, I think Gold Rush Coffee's putting down a nickel for K-Mud. I know that Chip Tipman, Arco Uri's construction is always good for it. The MUD, it is the people's voice in Humboldt and northern Mendocino, and to all points on the planet through the internet, and who knows, maybe we speak the truth here, it coalesces, it goes viral, and things change. That's why Uncle Pat does Monday Morning Magazine, and also it's therapeutic from a former talkaholic to give other people some space.
What are you talking about?
No, Richard.
Is this AAA? Or?
I'm no longer like dogs out of the yard, and that's terrible radio. It's funny sometimes. You and I have done it on K-Mod, but here we're being more
Speak
disciplined.
For yourself, man.
So. What are you demonstrating, Richard? What are you demonstrating?
Equity.
Heidi, would you like to talk so we all three talk at once?
Okay, Uncle Pat.
So, Ruffy and there's two different R's here. There's Ruffy and restoration, and that's what I thought we might consume a lot of the second half hour with because it really thrills me. But there's Ruffy and recreation, and Jeff Hedin wants to see trails maybe along the ridges through there that link up and allow ecotourism to become part of the region's economy and a reason that we protect the eel in its watershed. And so, you know, that's a pretty complicated thing to let people go tromping across your property. So recreation is kind of thorny, and restoration. Why don't you guys kick that back and forth here a little bit?
Heidi?
Yeah, well, you know, from the very beginning, we have been wanting to open this forest up to for recreational and educational purposes. And when we had Campbell Timber Management Company as our forestry company, they kind of fought it tooth and nail, partly because they were logging in there and they were afraid of anything that might happen to anybody going perhaps off a trail, but there are no trails. That's the problem. So now we are have our own management company that understands our mission much better and is on the same page as we are. But we haven't gotten around. Ruffy's a very small group of very dedicated people, and we just haven't had the energy and the time and certainly not the finances to get towards really mapping out and putting in trails that would link the Eel River to the coast. But that is something we want to do. We have contact with some other people that are willing to come in and build the trail for us. But we haven't really moved forward on that yet because I suppose we're going to need to get a grant to do a feasibility study.
Yeah,
where is the best place to lay this trail?
You know, Heidi,
how is it going to be safe, et cetera? But that is definitely something, not only but to also make it an educational trail so that it's not only a place for people to walk, but it's also a place you can go with your family and learn more about the forest and the kind of forestry we're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, this is kind of like the Eel River Recovery Project. There's so much potential. And if you don't get frustrated because you didn't do it yesterday and you're not doing it today, and you open up the space. So if people are excited by this recreational aspect of things and link trails in the Eel and they want to link on to that, I imagine that, you know, just as Richard has driven the restoration aspects from a largely volunteer position for Ruffy, you guys are open, and so then that creates a space for people that are interested in recreation to maybe come forward. Am I right?
Yeah.
And that's RFFR.
That's the thing about volunteers, you know.
It's important, too, I think, Heidi and Pat, to stress that we have a partner in this vision, and that's the Lost Coast Forest. You know, people are familiar with Ronald Snodgrass, who's used to have a heavily fortified institutional special show here on K-Mud. But he is trying to facilitate that in the Indian Creek Basin of having a trail going from the Piercy area directly to the ocean. And it's important to note another neighbor is the Intertribal Sinkione Wilderness, and they have going to have three trails to go from the Usal Road to the coast through Intertribal.
And they just unveiled one, didn't they?
I think maybe two.
Yeah.
But and they're having a gathering. You should go to their website, I believe, down at Usal on the 13th and 14th or so of August. But the partnerships with Lost Coast Forest, for instance, we're going to be focusing on that in coming Monday morning magazines. Tim Metz, sort of short notice for today. But Lost Coast Forest purchased 700 or so acres that Andersonia had retained on the South Fork Eel. And this is a very big deal because this would be where the trail would start, and also has to do with New Age stewardship utilization of the forest. Both their Lost Coast Forest and the Usal Redwood Forest. You know, Usal Redwood Forest and Ruffy have focused on trying to do some pilot projects with biochar. And so there's like a whole spectrum of things to try and make things viable for the surrounding communities, which is Ruffy's goal.
Yeah, and that it's very interesting. From the mouth of Indian Creek to the coast was a railroad. And so there's a railroad grade that makes an ideal trail. And, yeah, Rondell just cooks. He is like a magic man. And so I'm glad that you're going to be exploring that further on Monday Morning Magazine. I would be happy to do so as well, because I think the degree to which we can be driven by ecotourism, kind of diversify the economy. So, you know, you have a working forest like Redwood Forest Foundation's Usal Forest and the South Fork Eel Tribs, and you can have multiple benefits, and it ties back and helps the community and builds a safety net of diverse economy. And so it's And Rondell gets things done, and wasn't like that Indian Creek, the Lost Coast Forest, wasn't that like degraded lands from marijuana enterprises?
The devastation there is the marijuana was sort of, yeah, there's still cleanup going on, but given the historical
But that's a beautiful part
stuff,
of the story. Yeah,
well,
that's cool.
It's sort of an aggravating part of the story for me. But tractor logging after World War II, the impacts from that cannot be overstated, I feel.
Usal Creek, people have never been there. You have to take that obscure little turn before you get to the beach on Highway 1. And
well, that's why this place is important, because it isn't going to be run over. But one of the things I think, Heidi, this is my personal feeling, and I think some of the Ruffy board shares it in one way or another, but sort of the Usal Redwood Forest has a potential to be on a private, nonprofit, public basis what Jackson Demonstration State Forest is. You know, like truly multiple uses for education and science working forest, you know, and people have a relationship. People can get firewood from Jackson Demonstration State Forest. All these relationships with the communities need to be worked out for USALT Redwood Forest, but it's, I think it's comparable. And the volume of timber in Jackson Demonstration State Forest, I think, is two or three times as much as a normal industrial timberland.
Oh, yeah, and it's, and yeah, Jackson, they wanted to chop it all down, and we didn't let them, and now it's becoming a model, and people there use it. I mean, they're those people in those watersheds are all over it, and they do have coho, and so, and they've got the biggest diameter trees. That's kind of when you look at a Landsat image. Jackson State Forest is a big one, and but you did so much work in with the Sinkewan Wilderness and with the
Sinkewanee.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Wise guy. He's a wise guy.
I know it. I know it. I'm sleep deprived. Don't tell people. I'll fall apart.
I think it shows, too, how much, what a difference it makes if the public is aware of what's going on and really raises its voice. Jackson Demonstration State Forest is, I believe, 55,000 acres. Is that right?
I think so. Something
and
like that.
REFI is just under 50,000 acres. And neither of these would have happened if people hadn't really come together and said, no, we want a different kind of forest, we want a different kind of forestry, and really, you know, dug in their hackles and just said, this is what we want to happen.
Vince Taylor was like a pit bull with a cuff, maybe a chihuahua with a cuff, but he never let go. And that Save Jackson Forest was really, really good. I did a lot of biological work for them and made logical cases. And the state was pretty, you know, get out the cut for quite a while. And then they figured out that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, there's the CDF and its think tank, Russ Henley and those guys, they're good scientists. And so it's...
I'm cringing.
Well, you know... All right, I won't go further. this is Pat Higgins from Monday Morning Magazine. Thumper's mother said to Thumper, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah, and I kind of do that on the radio.
You have some points. There's a lot of different positive things to look at. I don't know, for one, I like to talk about 10 Mile River, which is like one of the ultimate coho potential systems in the North Coast in California. And flying over that, there's three NTMPs, non-industrial timber management plans there, and the rest was GP dominated, and you fly over that and there's three forests. They're distinct because it's uneven age management that they've been really well taken care of by foresters like Linwood Gill and Craig Blanco, and that's the kind of stewardship that Ruffy aspires to.
I actually had a conversion when I went to the Parker Ranch on the North Fork 10 Mile. There was a Salmonid Restoration Federation meeting in Fort Bragg, and it said, come see the new face of forestry. And I was thinking, come see the new face of BS. Get ready for another Simonized job in an industrial forest. And I was blown away. It was selective logging with high-lead cable suspension. You couldn't even tell where they logged. There were these cable corridors, and they were surgically removing trees with no ground impacts. All their roads were about as wide as one truck, so they do radio control. They never have trucks coming against each other. The people get out on the four-wheel drive little go-kart things in a winter make sure the roads don't fail. And then as the roads are not used, they actually look like trails. They were leaving old-growth trees with the intention of harvesting them in the future because they created a microclimate that created better conditions for growth. And so that's the Parker Ranch. And Linwood Gill practices conservation forestry. Craig Blanco, his son now is in the game. They're doing work for Ruffy.
Yeah, Chris Blanco is doing a lot of in-stream habitat work, too.
Yeah.
Craig's son.
Yeah.
Those guys are masters. You don't see the forest where they've – you don't see how they've touched it when they get out of there. Maybe you see something for a year or two, and after that you don't see it. And the forest there look beautiful.
It sure helps to have a really vibrant – redwood forest to be able to pull off.
To start with, yeah, and that's the problem is that we have now gone to such a level of depletion that, you know, average diameters, when you look at Landsat, they're under 24 inches for a tree that went to 24 feet. And, you know, if we keep harvesting on rotations of, you know, 30 to 40 like they do in southern Oregon, that's just a series of debris torrents. So you have to go light touch, reduce road densities, and selectively log. And that's the Redwood Forest Foundation. And you could Donate to the Redwood Forest Foundation online at www.redwoodforestfoundationincorporatedruffi.org. And you can also volunteer, and we're hearing a lot about how this could really benefit the community. So there's potential for more recreational access. If you're interested in that and wanted to plug in, check out Ruffy. They hold an annual meeting that is to die for, it's just passed. But there's ways to plug into Ruffy, and the Eel River Recovery Project really values its partnership with Ruffy. Right now, we're mostly kind of we're contributing by monitoring all the Redwood Forest Foundation tributaries and their water temperature, and so we kind of help to keep tabs, because we believe that we're going to show an arc of recovery on Redwood Forest Foundation lands that would then justify the expansion of the Redwood Forest Foundation model, and show that the public funds that have been expended have worked, so maybe get some more money for Ruffy and really make it just coho heaven between Indian Creek and the Hollow Tree. And Hollow Tree actually benefited from Trout Unlimited's partnership with the Mendocino Redwood Company.
That's a huge watershed tributary. It's very important. Hollow Tree is awesome.
It's an interesting one, because it almost looks like it should drain to the coast. And when you follow Highway 1 to the west in Leggett, you're actually along Hollow Tree for miles and miles. And it is a seat of recovery for the coho, and it's largely, it's been helped by additions of large wood, decommissioning of roads, and a comprehensive strategy. So that's become kind of the center of the coho population for the South Fork. We can expand it into Redwood Forest Foundation trips. We've got the UC Preserve, and we've got Obit. You know where we need to re-expand the population, Richard? Laytonville and 10 Mile Creek. That was
happen.
A phenomenal.
I understand that 10 Mile Creek in Laytonville, as opposed to 10 Mile River on the coast, is beginning, I mean, a watershed association that's going to mean something.
Yeah, Evan Engber is helping, trying to help. And there's a lot of people of conscience in 10 Mile Creek. And so as we preserve forest lands and we have these centers of population for the coho, then if we get our thing together and we're able to get the flow of 10 Mile back to more its more normal range, because we conserve water and we restore the hydrology, then the fish will stray back in there. And if anybody wanted to kind of study the way you restore Pacific salmon, is you lock up and conserve those populations that are producing, and they are your source populations when you expand habitat.
Yeah. It's hard to lock them up, though.
I
was wondering what you meant by that. Lock them up. Stopping erosion is a huge aspect.
He means protecting the sources.
My choice of words was poor there.
Yeah, there will always be some erosion, but the erosion that we've seen in the past that has smothered the eggs and the reds and not allowed them to really, the fish to develop, just suffocating basically the young fry is just, that is hopefully coming to an end, and we're doing the very best we can. I just wanted to say how appreciative the Redwood Forest Foundation is for the Eel River Recovery Project, because we could not and cannot do this by ourselves, and you as a totally 150% trustworthy group of volunteers that are out there doing the monitoring you do, that provides us all with a proof that we're on the right track and lets us know where there's still pockets of difficulties or problems that we need to address. So, you know, hats off to you and the many years of work that you and Jeff Adine and others have put in of your tireless work into this, making this whole thing work. That's the other thing. All of this stuff is collaborative, and without all these partners and without everyone really coming together and caring about these fish, which are just one indicator of the health of the forest, we would not be able to do this. And that's, again, why all our organizations need volunteers. So I can't emphasize that enough.
And the fine sediment is that smothers the gravels will go down, and then when there's no fine sediment in the gravels, there'll be connection to the groundwater, and the creek will make dramatic, not just incremental drops, but fairly precipitous drops as hyperreic groundwater reconnects with surface water. As the pools deepen to 3 feet or greater, then the coho salmon will proliferate. And so these creeks are in an arc of recovery. What I actually meant to say before is, and Bradbury et al., if you look it up on, go to the internet and Google and just put Bradbury et al., you can do conservation without restoration, but you can't do restoration without some conservation, because if you don't protect your source population, then nothing comes of nothing. And when you have patches of disturbance, that's a natural process, that's a post-disturbance, but when you take all the trees and all the watersheds on the Mendocino Coast at a 50 to 80% level within about 20 to 30 years, we've lost coho salmon in much of northwestern California and in southwest Oregon. And so I would suggest that people really need to pay attention to Ruffy, not only because it's going to protect the redwood biome and help us to re-expand it to have derivative benefits for the community, but also because it is absolutely key to the future recovery of coho salmon and maintaining them in perpetuity. And we are on the cusp of loss of gene resources that are pretty alarming.
Yeah, damn important for Chinook also, I might add, if not steelhead. There's a lot of issues on that one. We need some creative entrepreneurs, not just volunteers, you know, because one of the big deals, Heidi's brought it up from her beginning of her biography, too, the whole issue of herbicides. You know, and Ruffy Board has a moratorium on these herbicides that runs through the summer. I'm not sure which date, but I'm sure hoping the board's going to renew that. But in order for us to do that, we need to have ways of dealing with tan oak in a creative manner, not poisoning it and standing and all that stuff. We need to get people that can be partners in dealing with that, which means like utilizing the tan oak for biochar or firewood and replanting to redwoods.
I got a third one.
Go ahead.
Mushrooms, baby. I watched Kyle Keegan take a dead tan oak and chunk the limbs that were about the size of my arm and chop them about 6 feet long, pound a couple of feet into the ground, fill the middle with wood chips, inoculate it with oyster mushrooms, put a little wax over the inoculation, come out with 22 pounds of oyster mushrooms from just one circle 4 feet across made of one dead tan oak. So multiply that times all the tan oaks you got to get rid of, or there might be sudden oak death killed on Redwood Forest Foundation. And think about what the market is for oyster mushrooms worldwide, since Chernobyl took out all the mushrooms in Poland and up through Lapland, and they still can't eat them. And I mean, this is the kind of diversity that when the Northwest Forest Plan happened, this was what we were supposed to do, was to go to multiple uses of the forest to support the communities surrounding mushrooms, tan oak, sudden oak. That's, you know, it's now, and there's a lot of labor. It doesn't rain, you know.
That's the thing. It needs labor intensive, and if our community really doesn't want to have herbicides used in these forests, they're going to have to kick in and actually do something to make it reasonable financially to be able to do the kind of stewardship management that Ruffy was founded to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, tan oak, you know, is also a wood that has value that I always think when I see what the Scandinavians are doing, making bookshelves that are assemblable in different depths and different heights and different shelf sizes, I'm wondering why no one here has done it. They have such a booming business, and I know it's probably a pine and that the tan oak is a different kind of wood, but still there are possibilities for wood products made from this wood, which would keep the carbon locked in, and as opposed to firewood, and would really, you know, I think it would be a business. But you're right, it takes work, and if people want to be in for the long term, we have the wood.
This is good. Yeah. This is
White
the kind Dorn of incubator.
On that path, Hardwood so, Division of White Dorn Consortium. Dan?
Yeah, we also had a caller call in and wanted to add hiking to community activities and bring people into the forest and to organize as many hikes as possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so incrementally, so then you walk before you can run, yeah, you could
what,
do...
That's what Sanctuary Forest has done. Sanctuary Forest is, and also...
But could you do that on Ruffy?
We're going toward that.
There we go.
We need to have, like, I want to see a spawning season hikes where we take people to where
All right.
it's happening.
You just clicked my dial. Let's do that.
Richard, you know more about that than anyone, so you could be a focused person on that. I know you have a lot of things to do, but...
Well, we need to pay attention. It takes having people pay attention, like some of the people we know, about what's going on and when it's going on, so when you can like get some kind of a quick notice out so that people can actually... Because seeing some of these...
Well, and also, this is one where you really screen. You don't just stick anybody... It's not... You know, if you're going to go do salmon... counts. You actually slap on waders and you get in the creek, and we have some people that love it. And I actually put in a grant for this through Ruffy, I think about 3 years ago. I'm having a recovered memory. This is something where it would be highly useful. It would be recreational for some, but it's something that if people are interested in, they can always call me if they want to volunteer at 223-7200. And we have more call-ins, and this is good because we're playing jazz. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Corin, and Richard would probably be more up on this, but the Institute for Sustainable Forestry, along with Whitethorn Construction, did have a tan oak business going. So is that still going, Richard?
Oh, it's really going great guns right now. They're having a lot of half-page ads and bigger in the local papers in our region.
Okay,
people should check that out.
Know that.
Yeah, they got a big covered area now for starting off the air dry before it's kiln drying. Yeah, Ken Forden and Whitethorn Construction, they've inherited what ISF and Wild Iris Forestry was trying to do with hardwoods at Piercy.
Oh, and they're back at it.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
that's super exciting.
Big time.
Well, thanks for calling in. This is K-Mud Monday Morning Magazine. This is your sometimes host, Pat Higgins. Usually first Monday of the month. I'll be back on Labor Day. I've drawn the holidays this year, 4th of July and Labor Day. I've got Richard Ginger here in the studio. I've got Heidi Gundling on the phone. And we have had some callers, which is kind of cool. K-Mud coming out of Reggie. Have we another question, or should we go?
I have something to bring up. I mentioned a little bit brief earlier. It was on August 17th. I'm not sure where in Piercy it's going to be, but Tim Metz and other people, I think the forester from New Island Capital, is going to be there too to talk to local residents, especially the Piercy area, about the Lost Coast Forest and the recent acquisition of Andersonia's 700 or so acres right there across from Old Piercy, and what they plan to do. You know,
is that going to be in the VFW hall there probably? Or
It probably is. It's the Berkey Hall, I would imagine, but that's the 17th, and there's supposed to be posters out. Jeff was putting some up, and there's a chance to get another more announcements of it on K-Mud through all sides now.
If you're just dying for what Richard was just talking about and you want to get it from the horse's mouth, Jeff Hedin is 247-3030.
There you go.
And so
that's okay,
this
right,
is 247-3030. And we're kind of on the wrap. Heidi, would you like the last word?
Well, just want to put in another plug for supporting Refi and the Eel River Recovery Project with your time, volunteer time, or donate. Both our organizations can certainly use any help you can give us.
Yeah, and
our website is again www.rffi.org.
Yeah, and all of us, it's enriching. It's to give of yourself and to give back to the community. And if you've been, if you want to help, this is frameworks that you can hang things on, eelriverrecovery.org, www.rffi.org. Get involved. Help the eel heal. Help it go in the right direction. Help us put the economy in a space where it's in sync with the environment, where we're practicing natural capital in the eel. And this is kind of a path in that direction. And then that makes us sustainable.
It's a cultural change. It's a deep cultural change because the history here, the colonial history and otherwise, is pretty intense. And to turn this thing around is really something. I was inspired always. I missed hearing it on the radio down there at Reggae on the River, but the Ideals played, and some of the songs that Rod Deal wrote, Ring, some of the great songs as far as I'm concerned, Herbicide Danger, Police State, 3 Million Acres. This is like at the root of people's enthusiasm to do some of the things that Pat and I and Heidi have been talking about, to get motivated to change how things are.
Yeah, and Richard Ginger, you are an inspiration. You put out enough energy. We could run K-Mud if we could just hook electrodes up to you, Richard.
we never exaggerate that.
We hit the ground slow this morning here at K-Mud coming out of Reggie. It's always been a bit of an ordeal, even if there's the Ideals. And so I was really pleased to talk to people at Reggie, all of you people who plugged in and you were so enthused about being part of the change. Be part of the change. get in the game. You got to hope. You got to put some skin in the game. And those who have not shared in the passion and action of their time have not lived, you know. So get in the mix of things. It's a wonderful kind of environment in the EEL where we care enough about it to where we can make a difference. But we all have to kind of stand up, be counted, plug in.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that Art Harwood is going to be honored this fall, I think in October, in the Grove up there at Kenny. You know, Art was one of the few people that represented the timber industry that was out front and communicating with the so-called other side during what he calls the timber wars. And Art has been a real mover in Redwood Forest Foundation Incorporated, along with Henry Gungling, Heidi's husband, and a number of others.
Yeah, we're planning on going out on the 9th of October to honor Art with dedicating an old tree to him. And anybody that would like to join us would be very welcome. Just get in touch with Refi. And he certainly deserves it. He's been there from the very beginning and put his heart and soul into it. So.
Amazing vision. He saw the decimation of the commercial industrial forest, and although he was part of that engine, he said, this cannot stand. And so, and his daughter is now a real mover and shaker.
And it's a biochar pilot project and going off on her own in related matters as we speak.
Yeah. So a world of possibilities. Heidi Gungling, thank you very much. Richard Ginger, great show this morning here in the second hour after some three-ring circus no net in the first one. This is Pat Higgins. I'll be back on Labor Day. I think it's September 4th for Monday Morning Magazine.
Yep. And I'll be on the Monday of this month with an hour-long special about the California Conservation Corps and their 40th anniversary with Mel Kreb. And hopefully Tim Metz will be on also to go into some of the Lost Coast Forest issues, hot and heavy.
Whoa, yeah, great.
Strong finish. Thank you, man. Thanks for getting up this morning, engineer.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you all very much. It is 9 o'clock straight up. This is Redwood Community Radio, KMUD Galpaville, 91.1 FM and HD1. KMUE Eureka, 88.1 FM and HD1. Also, KLAI Laytonville at 90.